Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Is off to a great start. It's time for the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan 680 and 93.7. Streaming at 680thefan.com. Get that Fan mobile app driven by Beaver Toyota of Cumming. You can go to beavertoyotaofcumming.com and find out that's the fastest and easiest way to shop online. Let them wow you. And the 10 o'clock hour on The Fan. It's brought to you by the Howard Barron Law Group. If you want to win your personal injury case, go to championshiplaw.com. If you're listening on the smart speaker, that is brought to you by South Point Financial Services, the mortgage professional. Got Road Dogg over in Athens. He's getting ready for that Kirby Smart press conference coming up at noon. We all look forward to that. DT and Nerney in the house. And I believe, guys, we are now ready to go.
Bucks Big Take.
Saturday in Columbia, South Carolina, Georgia absolutely destroyed the Gamecocks. You know, Road Dogg was right on Friday. The Dogs minus 24.5. Turned out that was an easy winner. Well done, Road Dogg. And you know what? Both polls got it right this week. Georgia is number one, both in the AP. And the coaches finally got their act together. Did you see that Gamecock crowd? That was a non-factor. In fact, many of those folks left early. Stetson Bennett, he was outstanding again. Well, except when he was throwing up on the field. Georgia made the Gamecocks look like an FCS program. Clearly. The Georgia Bulldogs are the top team in college football. Not Alabama. Not Ohio State. Kirby, in a word, has reloaded. The one word being reloaded. So there are 29 votes in the AP and the coaches. If you add those together, there are 29 votes that did not vote Georgia number one. And I wonder what those dudes are thinking, man. I mean, what's going on? Let's hear from Kirby Smart after the game on Saturday. He was asked about, apparently there's been no drop-off from last year's Natty team to the team they have right now.
I said all year, we have good football players. We have to go play well, and they have to buy into being selfless and helping each other. And this team is way different than last year's team. You know, we don't have 15 draft picks when we get drafted next year. We don't. But we've got a bunch of guys that are tough, physical. They like practice. They buy into being around each other. They're connected. They like competing against each other. And the only way you get better during the season is on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You know, it's hard to just go out there in the game and take 30 snaps. We get 60, 70 snaps of practice, each guy. So as long as they keep getting better and you guys don't fill their head up with too much stuff, we'll be all right.
Yeah, it's pretty simple to see. Georgia under Kirby Smart has recruited as well as anybody, with maybe the exception of Alabama, over the last 4 years.
Thank you, Buck.
So there's plenty of big-time talent on campus that they're coaching up. And I think it's pretty clear, if you're watching, that Kirby Smart has compiled one of the better coaching staffs in college football. I mean, Todd Monken, and I'm going to brag on him a little later in the Bulldog Roundtable, has done an awesome job. They're going to have trouble hanging on to Monken. He's getting a head coaching job somewhere. And then defensively, where all these young players have been incorporated into the defense, Glenn Schumann, Will Muschamp, Kirby Smart, all these defensive coaches have done an outstanding job of getting these young players coached up. It's been really impressive. Unlike my Falcons. Let's talk a little Falcons football.
The Dirty Birds are in our blood. And guys like Buck know what's happening in the huddle. Let's dive into Falcons football on The Fan.
Yeah, I was watching the game yesterday with my oldest son. Youngest son's got no interest in watching these games. Oldest son, he's got his jersey on. Number 8, by the way, the number 8 jersey, a Falcons jersey. But we'll talk about that in just a second. But he told me as the game final seconds were ticking off, said, "Dad, you know, we're not that bad." I agreed with him. We're not that bad. We are 0-2, though. And I saw this graphic flash up at the end of the game yesterday on Fox. Since 2020, 20 teams have started the year 0-2. Zero have made the playoffs. Not that I thought we were going to make the playoffs. But I thought that we had a head coach that is really the offensive coordinator that would do a better job of getting our best player involved. 56 plays the Falcons ran yesterday. 56, 3% of the plays called went to Kyle Pitts. And this is totally unacceptable. Totally unacceptable. 3 targets going to a guy that was drafted in the top 5 of the first round. 3 targets to one of our best players on the team. Now, Arthur said after the game, look, it's not fantasy football. We're just trying to win. So he went off on the media. It was a legitimate question, Coach. A really good question. Why isn't the ball going to Kyle Pitts?
That's a really good front and certainly probably the most dominant interior pass rusher in the last decade. And so when you're sitting there using different things to try to stay on track because the guy can be a nightmare and Kyle is such an important piece and you know, the ball, we go after him or he's targeted, and other guys made plays. So, you know, it's like a perfect example. You target him on one, and if they cover him or they account for him, and then Hodge comes in there and makes a big play. It's not fantasy football. We're just trying to win.
Call me crazy, Coach, but I thought that from a coaching perspective, that the best way to win is to get your best players involved. And correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Arthur Smith, doesn't he have this great reputation of being an offensive coordinator? Well, I'd give Arthur Smith an F the first 2 games of the season, Ernie, for not getting their best player involved. Is he getting extra attention? Is he getting doubled? Well, I would say scheme him open. Have you not heard of that? Aren't you scheme plays, X's and O's wise, that gives him a really good opportunity of getting the ball? Scheme him open. We've got other coordinators doing this. My goodness, put him at wide receiver. Lining him up at running back. Flex him out. Maybe put him in a bunch formation. If they're playing man, let the 2 guys in the bunch up front clear the area so you can get Kyle Pitts the ball. This is totally unacceptable. Not fantasy football, Coach. It's your job to scheme Kyle Pitts open. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. I give Arthur Smith an F for getting Kyle Pitts the ball. I mean, that's not a stretch. My goodness. You know, we had Dan Reeves coming on this show a few years back. God rest his soul. Love the man. And he was telling us that when Arthur Blank got the job, that one of his handlers spoke with Coach Reeves about, well, look, on on Monday, Coach, we're going to need you to drive from Flowery Branch and drive down to Buckhead, because we need you to have a 2 or 3 hour meeting with Arthur Blank to review what happened in the game. And Dan Reeves said, I don't have time to do that. I've moved on to the next game. So I wonder if Arthur Smith drove down to Buckhead this morning to meet with Arthur Blank. And I just wonder if Arthur Blank asked, how do we have Kyle Pitts only getting 2 catches in the game?
Who cares?
This isn't fantasy football, huh? Well, it sure
is. It's not fantasy football.
This is real football. All right, guys are getting hit out there. And you're not scheming the guy open. He's one of the best players on the team. No wonder you're 0-2. Second week in a row, they've refused to get Kyle Pitts involved. It's unbelievable. Up next, Seattle. Pitts probably catch one ball up there, too. All right, coming up next, man, we got a pennant race going on. Braves looking good against the Phillies. I think that was really huge, getting the sweep against a team we'd had a little bit of trouble with this season, but it's not all good news. We'll talk about the good and the bad coming up next as we chop it up. It's the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan 680 and 93.7.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at AtlantaRamjack.com.
I wanted to get Jesus on my show today. Wasn't that Jesus? Buck Belue Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7. Man, we appreciate you hanging out with us and would appreciate your input. 404-231-1680, the number. DT will get you lined up and on the show before you know it. Arthur Smith, can we not get Kyle Pitts involved? I mean, if I was Marcus Mariota, when I was not running for my life, I'd be looking for number 8 a little bit. Now, it's great to see the number one pick in this past NFL draft. We took another big receiver, and it's good to see we're getting him involved. But they may have forgotten all about Kyle Pitts. If I'm Mariota, when I'm not running for my life, I'm looking for number 8 a little bit. Doesn't that make a little sense? Or am I just completely crazy? Yeah, I think maybe, it makes a little bit of sense.
Well, maybe they are scheming for Kyle Pitts. I mean, a couple of times they use on the red zone, on the goal line, they schemed to get Drake London open by having Kyle Pitts run those little pick routes, which I'm fine with. Maybe they are saying, hey, throw it to Kyle, and Marcus, for whatever reason, isn't finding him.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, they're not doing a very good job of it then.
I mean, I would much rather him throw up to Drake London or Kyle Pitts as opposed to Bryan Edwards right there. But anyway.
Well, I'm just saying, look, if you're going to go and draft a guy in the top 5 of the first round of the NFL draft and give him all this money and then not get him involved, either somebody's not on the same page, being the general manager and the head coach, or you're not very smart. I mean, how do you take a guy in the top 5 and then ignore him? How much sense does that make? Absolutely none.
I bet Desmond Ridder could come in and find Kyle Pitts.
Well, maybe so.
He's just trying to get you riled up, Buck.
Well, look, you know, the Ridder thing doesn't get me upset. It really doesn't. I just, I just shake my head, really, at the guys. And they, well, put Ritter in there. Everything will be okay. No, he's a rookie quarterback that doesn't know his butt from a hole in the ground right now. Oh, yeah, and he'd perform at a higher level than Mariota. Yeah, right. Let's put the backup quarterback in there, see what he can do. Fans.
You got to be disappointed, though, that final play when you were actually in Hail Mary range and Marcus doesn't even get the ball out of his hands.
With a three-man rush, and he's running for his life. And that's Mariota's fault?
Well, I mean, he is the quarterback. Yeah, you got to throw it at some point.
Well, it's a little tough to throw it 60 yards when you're running for your life back there. Nick and Chris, man, you need to listen to those guys this week. You're going to get a chance to get in to see the Doobie Brothers 50th anniversary show. They'll be giving away tickets all week long. And I know why they didn't allow me to give any tickets away, because I'd have put those things in my back pocket. 50th anniversary show of the Doobie Brothers?
I got to be honest, I came
my
back
goodness,
with
we
them.
Would, totally on this show, chance. Those would be in my back pocket. At the Fox, are you kidding me? Doesn't get any better than that. For tickets to the show and information on all the shows, visit foxtheater.org. I know why they didn't give me any of those to give away, because we wouldn't have given them away, brother. Nerney, we'd be going to the Fox, baby, seeing the Doobies. Let's chop it up.
Time to talk Braves. Let's chop it up. Presented by Haug Law Group, your local personal injury attorneys. HaugLawGroup.com.
All right, the Braves, man. Homestand continues as we host the worst team in Major League Baseball these next three games. The Washington Nationals, they have 51 wins. And we're going to throw Kyle Wright, Morton, and Fried at them. See how they like that. They're not going to like that very much. So the plan is for the next 10 games, leading into the mammoth, epic Mets series, we need to grab the lead from the Mets. They're playing the Brewers the next three games. What do you say we take the lead in this series? And then we put them away when we face them coming up in 10 games. Now, there's some adversity that has hit. Again, poor Ozzie Albies out the rest of the regular season. And let's just go ahead and say it, out for the rest of the year with a broken pinky finger. It's going to be in a cast for 3 weeks. At that point, they're going to reevaluate. Guess what the healing process looks like? Look, that bone's not going to heal in 3 weeks. So I feel for Ozzie Albies today. Tough, tough deal for him as he persevered with the foot injury, ankle injury, made it all the way back, ready to give this team and organization a big boost. And then he slides into second base and breaks his finger. Nerney, why is it everybody refuses to slide feet first now? I mean, we've totally gone away from the feet first slide. And now everybody's got to wear the sliding glove and slide head first. I don't understand that either. Ozzie, though, is a big loss energy-wise on a day-to-day basis, bringing energy to this team that nobody else does. All-star caliber guy offensively, defensively. There's just no way to replace it. So more perseverance for this year's Braves team. Now, we got Vaughn Grissom. And Vaughn Grissom came up and produced in a big-time way. And it was good to see him get a hit yesterday. Broke out of a 0-for-28 slump. 0-for-28 with a base knock yesterday. And you know what? He's not the defender that Ozzie Albies is either. So we're taking a little bit of a step back offensively, a little bit of a step back defensively. And I just wonder, Vaughn Grissom, he would not be the first rookie that would be feeling the pressure to perform down the home stretch in a pennant race. Look, I like Vaughn Grissom. And I think they've got a player they're going to rely on for years to come. Wishing him the best the rest of the way this year. We need him to ball. Need him to pick it up a little bit. And we need Matt Olson to get his act together, too. 0-for-12 against the Phillies. He is now hitting 074 in the month of September. Now, I understand Matt is working really hard to correct these issues, these flaws that he has at the plate right now. I mean, I see a guy that's late on the fastball. So I think fatigue is set in. This guy's played every single game. He has not had a day off yet like you, Nerney. I mean, you've been going to the beach occasionally, making some of these trips. I mean, Matt Olson's in the lineup every single day. And you know why? It's because we don't have another first baseman. We don't have another guy we can put at first base. I think fatigue has set in with Matt Olson. He knows his swing. He studied his swing. They brought in personnel. I bet Chipper's done the Zoom call with Matt Olson. He's worked hard to get these things corrected. I think fatigue has set in with Olson. How about giving the dude a day off? Heck, we can let Domino go down there and play first base one day. I'm just saying. Let's end it on the up and up. Braves with the best record in Major League Baseball since June the 1st. 68-28, I believe it is. We're feeling good about our Atlanta Braves. Get out and cheer them on as we take down the worst team in baseball the next three games. I love chopping it up with you. And I tell you what else I enjoy is talking college football in a big, big way. Let's do a Deep South top five right now.
The best in college football and the NFL.
Five, five, four, four, three, three, two, two, one.
Top 5, presented by your locally owned and operated Ace Hardware. Find your neighborhood store at acehardware.com.
All right, DT, let's go, man. Come on.
Let's jump right in, Buck.
Let's roll.
Starting with the top 5, we're going to jump all around. We're going to get your opinion on some performances. So first, give us your Deep South player of the week 3.
You mean the player?
Player
of the week. Come on, player. Baller. I'm going to go Will Anderson Jr. at Alabama.
That's not a bad
choice. I mean, my goodness, a little bit of criticism came his way last week. Not making the impact a lot of the Crimson Tide fans thought he was going to be making. Well, he made it on Saturday. 5 tackles, a pick 6 for Will Anderson. Had a sack. He's going to have a lot of those this year. No, Jaden Daniels at LSU played well. Zach Evans, Ole Miss. Really tremendous here in the hashtag 404. And Brock Bowers doing amazing things, too. But I'm going Will Anderson over there at Alabama. Player of the week.
A lot of players across the Deep South. Now, Buck, I want you to drop the Buck Blue Show play of the week. What stood out from you?
The play of the week. That had to be over in Boone, North Carolina. Wow. I mean, ESPN Game Day has gone to Boone instead of College Station. So they have a big, big game day. Man, those fans, they're on top of the world over there in Boone. And then they go out, and they are about to lose to Troy.
After all the buildup, what a letdown from last week, right?
And here comes the Hail Mary, man. The
quarterback threw it.
Wow. Well, yeah, he wasn't getting chased like Mariota was getting chased. So let's put that out there. But Chase Bryce did hang it up, didn't quite get it to the end zone. So, you know, you don't give Chase Bryce an A for the throw. I mean, it came down about the 5-yard line. But they knock it up, bat it up, and one of the receivers catches that thing and sprints into the end zone for a 32-28 win.
That's how you pull the Hail Mary. You usually it comes off of a deflection.
Well, the first thing you want to do is give the quarterback actually time to allow the receivers to run down the field because they got to go 50 yards. So you need a second or two for those guys to get down the field. Then you hang it up and give them a shot. This really is the fun belt. I mean, South Alabama almost beat UCLA out in Pasadena. The fun belt has been fun this year, and how about App State, the play of the week in week number 3?
Yeah, the Sun Belt, one of the fun themes so far early in the college football season. All right, Buck, moving on. Now we'll kind of jump to the other side. We want you to reveal your worst individual performance, the worst performance you saw in week 3.
I'd go with Gators quarterback Anthony Richardson.
But wasn't he a Heisman candidate after week one?
Well, for 1 week.
Yeah.
For 1 week. It hadn't worked out so well since then. So they're playing South Florida, a game they should blow the doors off this team. And Richardson played down. Had a little over 100 yards passing. This is 2022, folks. I mean, you're looking at your quarterback to throw for 300 yards these days. 116 yards. Two interceptions. Two of them. And they were able to escape with a 31-28 win. Gator fans, I don't believe, are that impressed with Anthony Richardson anymore. Remember we had Shane Matthews on this show during the offseason leading into the start of practice? And
yeah, always a great
guy. And he said, look, he's very skilled, Anthony Richardson, highly skilled, very little experience running a big-time offense. And you're seeing what Shane was telling us right before your very eyes. He is struggling right now.
But yeah,
worst performance of the weekend individually.
You see the talent. You see the natural ability. You just got to
That's not going to win you anything.
Exactly. Got to work a little. All right. Now, Buck, I want to know your worst team performance.
Georgia Tech.
Which team let you down in week three? Yeah,
it didn't let me down. Let down the Yellow Jacket Nation with that performance. So you lose 42 to nothing at home. 42 to nothing.
That's too many shutouts. They got to score some points.
You don't even get on the scoreboard. I tell you what, I've never been a Tech fan, but I bet those Tech fans, they've seen enough of what's going on. Jeff Collins, I bet he was showing up for work today, wondering if there were going to be like some empty boxes outside of his office door to pack the stuff up and get on out of there.
Thanks, guys. You're the best.
42 to nothing at home. No wonder these Jacket fans aren't showing up. Worst performance of week three, Georgia Tech.
Here's how bad that game was. Typically, when you get blown out by that magnitude, you can fall back on, well, we turned the ball over multiple times. We had way too many penalties. But they had four total penalties and no turnovers during the entire duration of that beatdown. That's how dominated Georgia Tech was by Ole Miss. That score, 42 to nothing, I would say that game was closer to a 70 to nothing type score.
42 to nothing. Go 3 for 9 on third down offensively. Sims, not effective at all. Not effective at all. Zero chunk plays. I mean, they're so pedestrian on offense. Nothing coming out of that. And the elephant in the room is when is Coach Collins going to have to clean out the office?
Shout out to Joe Hamm, number 14.
They needed Joe out there running the show.
All right, Buck. Well, let's close out the top five with the Buck Belue Show top five. Are your top five squads in college football?
Well, for the third consecutive week, Belue was ahead of the curve on this with Georgia number one. Woo. Alabama got Will Anderson Jr. involved. They are clearly the second best team in college football. Ohio State 3, did you see C.J. Stroud putting up those big numbers Saturday? I've got Oklahoma 4, AP and coaches, they've got them 6. I've had them 4 for a couple of weeks now. Number 5, I'm going to go Michigan, number 5. I'll skip on Clemson and USC. I need to see more. I'll say Michigan's number 5 right now.
And there's your top 5.
Buck's top 5 on 680 The Fan, Atlanta's sports station.
Man, we're bringing it to you on Friday night, too. And coming up this Friday night, our Friday Night Football, powered by Georgia Power. It's where you can find the best high school football action from around the state. Now, you got to tune in to Extra 106.3 or download the Extra app. And this week, we've got Langston Hughes High School taking on Douglas High, 7:30 start. We got Mooneyham and Conkle calling the game after the ball game. Stay tuned for the Georgia High School Scoreboard Show. Steve West and Brandon Joseph with scores and updates from around the state. Friday Night Football Game of the Week and Georgia High School Scoreboard Show are powered by Georgia Power and presented by Truist, Marco's Pizza, the University of West Georgia, and Fox 5 Atlanta. I think we've got time for one nugget.
Tasty. Time for the College Football Nugget, presented by your locally owned and operated Ace Hardware. Find your neighborhood store at acehardware.com.
Now, I'm going down this road again. We've got a head coach that is the offensive coordinator and not getting his best player involved. Makes no sense. Absolutely no sense. Tank Bigsby at Auburn. Now, Brian Harsin begged him to stay during the... He was going to hit that transfer portal. He was gone. Well, Harrison talked him into staying. Look, we're going to feature you. We're going to get you the ball. We're going to watch you have a tremendous season. He got 11 touches on Saturday. 11. He had 8 in the first half when the game was still close, 14-6. Look, and if you can't run the ball, why not get your running back involved in the passing game? I'm seeing it all over the country. Throw it to your running back if you can't run the football effectively. Brian Harsin. Go ahead and clean out your office, man, because you are gone. And I saw some yesterday, some outlets saying, well, who's going to replace Herm Edwards out at Arizona State? I saw Brian Harsin's name on the list. Are you kidding? Are you kidding me? Auburn owes him like $15 million if they cut him loose. Just go ahead and cut the check. Talk about dysfunctional. And we should have seen this right off the bat when he hired Mike Bobo to be his offensive coordinator. And then Bobo says, you know what, I can't deal with this. This is incompetent. So he was out. They brought in a new offensive coordinator from the NFL. He lasted less than 2 weeks before he said, you know, I think I maybe took the wrong job. It all reflects on the head coach, Brian Harsin. Gone. Hot seat, my goodness. I mean, you promise Bigsby you're going to get him involved, and then you don't. Makes no sense. There you go. Yeah, I just don't get these head coaches that maintain their status as a coordinator, and they don't get their best players the ball. What in the world's going on, man? I'll tell you one that is, though. And here's a guy that's probably not going to keep his same job that he's got right now. Coming up in the future, there are going to be some teams that hop in, whether it's NFL or college football. And I'm going to be sad to see him go. Let's go to the Bulldog Roundtable.
The Fan is proud to be the official sports talk station of the Dogs. And it's time for Bulldog Roundtable with Buck Ballou.
25-20, first down, like 15, 10, 5, get in there!
Roundtable is proudly presented by Georgia's own credit union, Hal Glaw Group, Georgia Pack and Load, Stat Hero, T-Mobile, and by attorney Ken Nugent.
And that's going to be the ball game. Georgia will win this ball game.
Only on The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Yeah, I mentioned earlier that Kirby's defensive staff, totally impressive, totally getting the job done. And I did not mention Trey Scott, who I think has done an outstanding job recruiting and developing defensive linemen. Now, they got strength in numbers, playing a lot of guys on that defensive line. Strong with technique, brother. You watch Georgia's defensive line play, you're seeing some of the best technique across the country when you watch those guys play. But I wanted to brag on the other coordinator, Todd Monken. So you're making your first road trip of the season. And you're going into a hostile environment. So that puts more of a premium of getting off to a really fast start in the game. So you can take the crowd out of the game. Get points on the scoreboard. Your confidence level goes up. You see the home team crowd that was rocking the house when the team took the field. They start exiting the stadium. And that's what Todd Monken was able to do. Here's a coordinator that got his best player the ball early in the game. SEC road opener, hostile environment. You got to start fast. And where should the ball be going? It should be going to your most reliable players on the offense, and that is Brock Bowers. and Monken had some new wrinkles to get him the ball. How'd you like that little reverse for the touchdown? Finding ways to get Bowers the ball. Now, Arthur Smith, you need to pay attention. Brian Harsin, need to pay attention. I'm sure that South Carolina, Nerney, was doubling up on Brock Bowers. Why? He's a leading receiver on the team a year ago. So, you know, defensively, they had plans of bracketing Bowers and maybe playing somebody over the top, trying to limit his touches. Monken would not have any of it. He touched it five times early in the game. Started fast. Getting the ball to Bowers on the perimeter where he can do some damage. Scheming him open. The other player they really feel like is the most reliable, and you saw him touch the ball a lot early. He touched it seven times in the first half. If you count returning kicks, is Ladd McConkey. They trust Bowers, and they trust McConkey. You're on the road, hostile environment. You need a quick start. Where does the ball go? It goes to Bowers, and it goes to McConkey. And those reliable players deliver. Good coaching. Todd Monken probably won't be around beyond this season because there's going to be some NFL teams, some other college programs that come searching for his services. Todd Monken, A-plus job on Saturday. A-plus. I give Arthur Smith an F. Todd Monken, there's a guy getting the job done. And again, I'm sure they were trying to bracket and slow down and double Bowers. But if you scheme it right, you can find ways to get him the football. And I think there was some wrinkles maybe they held back in the first two games, planning on using it in the first SEC road game. South Carolina, wow, talk about getting waxed. That was embarrassing. Embarrassing. All right, we got a quarterback club coming up next. Get those shades on. It's the Buck Belue Show shades here on the Fan. The club. 680 and 93.7.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.
Happy Monday, everybody. It's the Buck Belue Show here on the Fan, 680 and 93.7. Love that music, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Nerney. We get the new work week started. Just hope our coaches can get the ball to their best players as they try to win football games.
Who cares?
Some coaches can, others just can't. And others with a short fuse, too, by the way.
Barriers again, we don't care.
Who cares? Isn't that Georgia's new mantra? You got some T-shirts in Athens.
Yeah, nobody cares. Nobody cares what
nobody
you did last
cares.
Season.
Right? Yeah, but what about the... I mean, isn't that sort of, you're on a fine line right there, Kirby, right now, because you're supposed to be concerned about the mental health of all these young players. So you should care.
Nobody right. cares about the players. I think when they're saying, you know, nobody cares what we did last year, you got to go out and earn it each and every week, and everybody's going to be bringing it.
Oh, I thought it meant like, Coach, I'm having a bad day.
No, I'm not sure if that's it.
Who cares?
Who
nobody cares.
Cares.
Man, let me get the shades on because we're going to the club on
shades
a Monday
on
morning.
In the club.
I'm not sure if the clubs are even open on Monday morning. But this one is the quarterback club. Let's kick it around a little bit. Let's go to college first. Want to give a shout out to Florida State Seminole quarterback Tate Rodemaker. Found himself in a tough spot on Friday night. That's right. The ACC plays on Friday night. So we had Louisville taking on Florida State Friday night. And I was so thrilled not to see Jordan Travis go down with a hurt leg come out of the game, but thrilled to see former Valdosta High quarterback Rodemaker coming off the bench as the backup quarterback and getting a shot. Now, the game was hanging in the balance when Rodemaker came into the game. And do you know what he did? He helped lead the Seminoles on three scoring drives. Now, they're down 31-28 in the fourth quarter. And what does he do? He drops a dime on third and goal, touchdown pass to the back of the end zone, throws it right where only the receiver can make the catch. And the receiver made the catch, and the Seminoles won the game. Kept them undefeated. Great to see Tate Rodemaker getting the job done there. Now suddenly he's the starting quarterback. Valdosta was paying attention. That's my hometown, in case you were wondering. All right, let's go to the high school level. Friday night, I saw amazing performances out of two quarterbacks playing on the same field. I was watching South Forsyth, where our sons play. They were in Athens playing Clark Central, and I mentioned it on Friday. This was my first visit back to Clark Central High School in 45 years since we lost the state championship game my senior year at Valdosta. And it took my sons playing to face the biggest disappointment in my sports career. Ty Watkins put on a show for South Forsyth down in the fourth quarter, rallied the troops with a touchdown run, had some big throws late in the game. Ty Watkins is a player! And I tell you what, the Clark Central quarterback, Lucian Anderson from Clark Central, he scored on the first offensive play of the game, 80-yard touchdown sprint. He's a junior. And really impressed with Watkins and Anderson in that game. Very impressive. All right, final word. Wanted to get this out there. I know a lot of people feel like, Ballou, you don't care about the South Side. Well, I really do. Inside the Hedges, we got a book signing set up. We're coming to the South Side, baby. Thursday, September the 29th from 6 to 8. I'll be at $3 Cafe in McDonough. So we do care about the South Side, and we have scheduled an appearance down there. $3 Cafe, Thursday the 29th from 6 to 8 in McDonough. Hope to see you out there. Nick and Chris coming up next. Have a great rest of your Monday, everybody.
Thank you, Buck.
Okay, thanks a lot, Buck.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.